I'm not Don tonight. I don't have the memory of Don. I'll tell you what, he's got the best memory of anybody I've ever seen in my life. And his understanding of the Bible, oh, I'll tell you, he is a godly man. He knows his Bible. He really does. We're very fortunate to have Don here with us. He's on vacation, and he asked me, why me? I don't know, but when I was in the hospital, and I was so sick with that COVID, didn't know I was going to, whether I'd make it or not. The doctors didn't either. But I promised the Lord something. I said, Lord, I'm going to stand for you all the days of my life. If I go home, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And I figure the Lord wanted me to be here tonight, or I wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't have accepted. But I know my promise to Him, and I've said it over and over again, and I want to say this to the day I die. Praise His holy name. Oh, He's worthy tonight. Church, He is worthy tonight of our praise. And we need to lift Him up. In our prayers, we need to call out. We need to get serious with God. And we're going to read from John here. And it's going to talk about His words. Chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we talk about the Word tonight, it's the same Word that this right here tonight. It's the same Word that was in the very beginning. This Word right here, it's God tonight. I don't think we know just how precious this is tonight. You can't put a value on this old Bible tonight. And God, there's no way. Its value far exceeds anything in this world. But this old Word tonight, it will not only help you through this life, but it will take you home one day and you can spend eternity with God with this right here. Oh, this Word is a road map tonight. And I'm so thankful we got His Word. The same Word that was in the beginning. The same Word that was with God. The same Word that was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You know, we depend on God for everything. Our very life, it's His tonight. Everything that we have, our church, our vehicle, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the food that we eat tonight. In one place in the Bible it says, all good things come from God. Now if it's good, it's from God. Now some of this other stuff, it didn't come from God. If it wasn't good, it don't belong to God. It didn't come from Him. It was man-made. And I think the day that we're living in, there's a lot of man-made stuff that's being fed to us. We need to drink from the fountain. We need to feast from His table. All the Word tonight. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, and in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. When we think about life, when we think about Jesus, when we think about God, we think about light. Light represents life. Darkness represents sin. But when you turn on the light, all of our sins are exposed, aren't they? When he turns on that light from heaven, and when we accept that light, oh, He shines down and He sees every little corner of our life. He sees everything about us. There's not anything that's uncovered. If you think that Our sins sometimes are going to get by God. You can think again because it don't work that way. It's just like a closet. You know, you can shut the doors up tight and cut the light off, and you don't know what's going on in there until you cut the light on. Then you can see a lot of things. You can see if it's in order, sort of like our life. Is our life in order? You can see in the corners. You can see the dirt. Does our life have maybe some dirty spots, some places in our life that needs to be cleaned up? I know mine does at times. We need the Lord to shine His light on us. We need to recognize the light, the spiritual light. And said, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the light shineth in darkness. And says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, we're going to be introduced to John here. You know, John was the forerunner of Jesus. He was the one that sort of paved the way for the Christ child to be entered into the world. Even when he was born or even before he was born. But John was a godly man. He was a man that stood for what was right. He stood up even if it killed him. He stood. That's the way we need to be. We need a little more John in our lives, don't we? I need a little more old John in my life. John was an example setter, but the greatest example setter was Jesus. And he goes on to say, now I'm not Jesus. I'm just going to set the stage for him. He's getting ready to come on the stage, but I'm just sort of setting the stage for Jesus. It says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. I want you to cling to that word believe tonight. I believe that said John in this chapter 98 times he made reference to believing. It's important tonight that we believe, isn't it? We got to believe tonight. There is no way that you'll ever see God tonight unless you believe. That word is a big word. When I got saved, I had to come to a point and a time in my life when I had to believe. I had to step out on faith. I had to ask Jesus to come into my heart, because I realized, because of the word and because of an old Christian grandmother, I came to a point in time that I knew there was something really big missing in my life. There was a void in my life that man couldn't fill. There was a void that only God can fill. And there was a preacher holding the revival, old preacher Hale. I believe he had more love about him than any man I've ever seen. He was having the revival at the little church. And all he preached with such love and compassion. And you knew it was from God. But anyway, I went to an altar. The Lord was dealing with me. And all the night, I'm going to talk to you about the spiritual side a little bit. When I went to that altar, and I got down and put my knees on that old-fashioned altar, when I dropped down, and I bowed my head as a little old boy, oh, I'll tell you, the Lord came down. All that sweet spirit fell. And all, it lifted such a burden off of me. And it filled that old void full of just like a spring of water just rushed in and filled my very heart and soul. And I said, Lord, would you save me? And he did. And all, I failed God in a lot of ways. But you know, he has never failed me. I've moved, but he hadn't moved. And that's what John is talking about here, talking about he came to bear witness of that light. Oh, I'm so glad I saw that light. I'm so glad that big old light shone down on me. And I said, yes. And said, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John keeps telling them. He said, now I am not Jesus. I'm not the light, but I came to tell you that there is one coming after me that's the light. There's one coming after me that's much greater than I. His name is Jesus. But they weren't prepared for that yet. They didn't know that yet. But John was telling them, oh, there's a great thing that's going to happen. Jesus is coming on the scene. And said, that was the true light. The light that John talked about was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I've thought about that a lot. You know, he was in the world. The world didn't accept him. Even his own people didn't accept him, the Jews. Jesus came into this world, he was rejected, and during his lifespan, he saw many come to Christ. He saw many that were healed, everybody around him. They saw the many, many miracles, but still, they didn't accept him. That was this day and time. What about we take it to today? Does the world accept Jesus for the most part today? We're here tonight, we accept him. But this old world, do they accept him tonight? I'm afraid not. If we look at our government tonight, I'm afraid they're not putting much trust or hope in Jesus tonight. It's all man-made trust. They're putting their hope in somebody that's got money, power. But that won't get you saved. That won't take you home. This old book here, the Word, will. It'll take you home. If there ever was a time that we need to be in the Word, we need to study the Word, we need to follow the examples, it's today. Like I said earlier, there's not one thing that you can do about a lot of these problems, but you can pray about them. You can pray to one that's bigger than all of our problems. I tell you what, oh, what a Savior. Like that song, I love that song, oh, what a Savior is mine. And I feel that way personally tonight. We ought to each one feel that way, that this Savior, he's just mine. He's all mine. That we just love him enough that we want all that we can get of him. He loves us that much tonight. Said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus came unto his own, the Jews. He came to them, but they didn't receive him. The Savior of the world, and they didn't accept him. They didn't receive him. I've often thought, if I could have seen all the miracles and all the things he does and followed him, I believe I would have been a believer. But you know what? It wouldn't change a thing, the more I think about it. It wouldn't have changed anything. It's all got to happen right here in that old heart. It's not what you see, it's what you feel right here. It's what goes on right in the center of your chest. But as many as received him, in them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If we accept Jesus, and if we use that word we talked about a while ago, if we believe tonight, if we really believe, there's power in believing tonight. There's a godly power tonight. God gives us power and authority and strength tonight. If we lean on Him and believe on Him tonight, trust in Him tonight, God will protect His people. He says, you're mine, and I'm yours, and I'm going to take care of you. It might seem like that the world is going to cave in on you, but if you belong to me, He says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. You're mine, and I'm yours. And one day we're going to live in a place called heaven, and we'll live there through eternity, everlasting to everlasting. And in the 13th verse it says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and He beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came into the world. He was God. But there's God, then there's Jesus Christ, and there's the Holy Spirit. There's all three. He was God that came to the world, but He was separate. He was the Son of God. They were one and the same. That don't make sense sometimes, but they were different. He became flesh. God didn't come to be the flesh. Jesus came to be the flesh. He was just like you and I when He was in this world. He was no different than you and I. And tonight, we should be no different, because if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior tonight, we belong to God tonight. And we should be just like Jesus, one and the same. If we're His, we belong to Him. And He's going to take care of us tonight. But He sent a fleshly body to live like each of us, and to walk like each of us, and have problems like each of us. But one thing about it, He never sinned. There was no sin in Jesus. But boy, He walked upon this earth 30-some years. And what did He do? He set an example that still stands today. The example that Jesus set today, or then, is still good today. The Ten Commandments is still good today. God's Word, it's still good today. That Word that was in the very beginning, it's still the same. It hadn't changed one bit. Now, people may have changed the writing in the Bible. They may have altered it and changed it. But it didn't change. We go back to the beginning. That is the true Word of God. And I believe there's not a mistake in here tonight. I don't believe there's one thing in here that has a mistake about it. And the Word was made flesh, and it says, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred. Listen to that word. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. Jesus was preferred. He wasn't Jesus. He wasn't the promised Messiah. He wasn't Christ, but He said, there's one coming after me that's preferred above me, that's above me, before me. And tonight, in each of our individual lives, I really believe there should be none that's preferred above Jesus. There should be nothing that puts mankind above Jesus. He is the ultimate sacrifice that was made there on Calvary's tree. He died for you and I. He died between two thieves. One was saved, the other died lost. Why? Because one accepted him as his Savior and believed. The other believed not. And he died on a cross, a sinner. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We're living in the day of grace. That's where it comes in here. Under the law of Moses, it was under the law at that time. But when Jesus came, we live, as it says here, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the 18th verse, it says, no man. That includes everybody. You might say, well, it don't say woman, but no man, I'll include it, or woman, it means both, hath seen God at any time. Now, you might hear all these things from different preachers or great prophets, so-called prophets today, that make all these big predictions that the end of time is here. And I saw Jesus and I saw God, but nobody has seen God. This word here says no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. No man has seen God tonight. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? So John came on the scene and he was telling them that Jesus is coming after him, and he was making all these accusations and all of a sudden, the priest came into the picture, and they said, well, who is this John? So they sent priests to check out John. And this is what he said, and said, who art thou, John? Who are you? What are you talking about, and who are you to make all these accusations or to say there's a Savior that's coming? Who are you to say that? How do you know? And he just confessed, and he said, and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I'm not pretending to be Christ. I've already said it over and over again. I am not Christ. He's going to come after me. And they asked him, said, what then, art thou Elias? And he said, no, I'm not Elias. I'm not pretending to be Elias. And art thou a prophet? And he answered and he said, no, I'm not a prophet. I'm the forerunner of Jesus. I came to tell the world there's a Savior that's coming, that's going to make a difference in people's lives, that's going to make a way of escape that you don't have to die lost. There's one that's coming that you can accept him and you can live forever and ever and ever. And then said they unto him, who art thou then, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? What are we going to tell the ones that sent us? The rulers that sent us to ask who you are and find out about you, what are we going to tell them? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet of Isaiah. And he says, I'm the voice of the one crying in the world. I'm the one that's been yelling all this time. There's one coming after me that's greater than me and greater than all. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why do you baptize thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? They said, well, why are you baptizing? You're down here baptizing all these people. Why are you baptizing? Under what authority do you have to be baptizing? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He said, there's one among you that you don't know that I'm going to tell you about. I'm not him. I baptized with water. But he it is who coming after me is preferred before me. He keeps saying that word, preferred. Jesus is bigger and greater than John. Whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Oh, tonight, I feel that way sometimes, don't you? We all should feel that way, but there's times I feel so unworthy that I'm not even worthy to unlatch his sandals. We ought to be that humble tonight. Jesus ought to be so strong in our hearts and his spirit so strong in our lives that we ought to be so humble that, oh, I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith. I like what John said here. You talk about a powerful statement. He told the crowd there he was baptizing, he told them, he said, oh, behold tonight. Church tonight, let's behold. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's the way it was when I got saved. Oh, behold, he came to me and took away my sins that I might know him as my personal Savior. Behold the Lamb of God tonight. What a powerful statement that is tonight. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following. And then he said, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is interpreted, the Master, which dwellest thou. And he said unto them, come and see. That's what he says to us today. Oh, would you come and see who I am? Would you come and taste of me? Would you come and try me? Oh, I can help you. Oh, maybe tonight, you're sickly tonight, but Jesus says, you come to me. I can make you whole tonight. I'm Jesus. You might come tonight and you might say, oh, I'm lost. You know what Jesus says? He says, come and see me. Come to me. It's my job to make you whole. It's my job to heal you. It's my job. That's why I came to the world, that I might be your Savior and be there for you. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, he knew him. He called him a name. He said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and he's told Philip to follow him. And we're going to go through Nathanael. These are people that are servants. They want to follow Jesus. They want to be with him. He was doing a mighty work. And I'm going to go over to the 51st verse. Or the 50th. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree. That's the reason he picked Nathanael. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. I believe we can see greater things in our church tonight if we would just pick up our stuff and follow him. we would quit clinging to some things of the world, what's holding us back tonight from serving God? I believe if we would just step out on faith, I believe if we would just believe, not look to the left or the right, but just set our heads toward God, look upward, look beyond the things of this world, and start walking, said, I'm going to serve you the remainder of my life. All the days of my life, I'm just going to serve you and be with you and see what I can do for you. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You know, as a church, I believe if we would bind together, one mind, one accord, set our sight on things above, I believe that we could see a lot of great things happen up and down this valley. I believe we could see Green Valley grow. I'm talking about spiritual growth. I believe that we could be like old Peter and them. Even when we went through the crowd, I believe if we were where we ought to be with God, I believe even our shadow would be a godly shadow, and people would know that is a godly man or woman just from the shadow they cast if we were where we ought to be with God. I really believe that tonight. And I'm going to wind up tonight going to chapter 3. Of course, you're familiar with chapter 3, but I don't want to leave this part out tonight. I want you to look at the 5th verse, and then I'm going to read the 15th through the 18th. I think this is important tonight. I know I skipped some scripture here. And Jesus answered, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Pretty plain talk, isn't it? Oh, that's straight the words of God tonight. That which is born of the flesh, it's flesh tonight. You can't mix the two. It's either flesh or spirit tonight. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit tonight. And he says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This thing of salvation and accepting Jesus, there's two births. One of the flesh, but you must be born again of the Spirit. You must. It's all in the word believing. We've got to believe tonight in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord. We've got to believe what old John's telling us tonight. Then the familiar scripture tonight is going to be 15th verse. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Again, believe tonight. Believe in him, and you're going to have eternal life tonight. Everlasting, eternal, no end. Spending eternity with God. Isn't that some statement tonight? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I had the privilege talking to a man that was lost. But first of all, I'd seen the man and I was always friendly and cordial with him. And I would see him on Sunday morning in a little store, and I'd always make it a point to be nice and friendly. I never did tell him about Jesus, but he knew I was going to church. But this man was in his work clothes. He was interested in becoming a millionaire. He was interested in all the things of the world. If I can ever get to this point here, I'm going to hang it up and enjoy my life. And he was a man that he had planes and, you know, he would fly and he loved flying. But anyway, this man, I'd see him on Sunday mornings. And I'd always be friendly and nice to him. But there came a time in his life when he thought he was ready to hang it up. He wasn't ready to hang it up because there was something that came into his life called cancer. Right at the point when he thought that he had the whole world by the tail, cancer came on the scene. It was pancreatic cancer. And I was in my office one day, and a good friend of his came to see me, and he said, "There's a man that wants to see you. He needs to talk with you." And I said, "Well," he said, "he's dying of cancer. He's not a Christian, but he wants you to come and talk to him." Of course, I felt like, well, why don't you get somebody else? Or then I realized, no, you need to do what God wants you to do. He wants to see you. Then I began to think, now what is it that am I going to say to him? And I started that old stuff again, listening to somebody other than God. God wanted me to step out and go straight and see him and talk with him. But when I got there, I prayed about it on the way. What am I going to say? And you help me, Lord. So when I got there, went into the house, oh, I tell you, he had a look. He was looking beyond. He realized how serious it was, and he realized his soul was hanging in the balance, and he needed Jesus. And I asked him, I said, "Do you need Jesus? Do you need Jesus today? Is that what's missing in your life?" And he said, "Yes," but he said, "I don't know how to be saved." I said, "Well, it is so simple to be saved. The plan of salvation is this verse here. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If he believed that right there, he was saved. If he truly believed it and repented in his heart, he said, "Yes." I said, "Do you accept the Lord as your Savior?" "Yes. I want him in my heart." I said, "Do you want to pray?" This was a man that was in a recliner. He was under hospice care. Couldn't hardly get up. There was days before that he wouldn't have even asked because he wasn't in his own mind. But this day his mind was clear. His mind was made up. He was ready to believe. And he said, "Yes, I want to pray." He came out of that recliner. And he fell down there on his knees and buried his face on an old couch there. And he buried it. And I said, "Let's pray." And boy, he went to praying. He asked the Lord to come into his heart. And when we got done praying, I said, "Do you believe the Lord came into your heart?" He said, "Yes." And he said, "You know what? I always thought it was going to be so hard. I had listened to this preacher and that preacher, and they went through all these steps." But he said, "It was so easy. It was so easy." He kept saying that. Well, he died about 2 weeks later. I wasn't there. But this is what he went out of this world saying. It was so easy to be saved. How was it easy? Because of that one verse right there. Jesus made it easy. Just believe and accept him and confess him. It says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Make sure you believe tonight. Make sure you believe tonight and you know Jesus is Lord of your life and that you're saved.